never happen to me. It what you'd have me be, 'cause I'm your child and you're my father, I'm the clay and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. For every time that I have failed, each time I've stumbled and sin prevailed, you pick me up, plant my feet on solid ground. Why you would love me, I sure don't know, but I'll keep on singing as I go. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is yours, Lord. Take my life, make it what you'd have me be. 'Cause I'm your child and you're my father, I'm the clay and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. 'Cause I'm your child and you're my father, I'm the clay and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing ever happened to me.
Praise God.
Well, praise God. It's good to be in the Lord's house. Is this mic on? Have we got this one on? Is the lavalier on? Okay. Well, amen. It's good to be in the Lord's house. Not sure if we're out going out over the internet just yet.
No, we are. There we go. And you might want to cut that down just a little bit inside here. Amen. I'm not sure. And I'm going to get loud, but I might. And if I do, I don't want to blow anybody's eardrums. I was a little bit loud last Sunday. Amen. I don't know that they can tell you. I can't tell you. I'm up here. Is that loud? Okay. Steph, everybody's shaking their head. Yeah, it's loud. It sounds like I've got a little bit of mid in it too, a little more than ought to. All right. Well, if they start holding their ears, you'll know that it ain't right. Amen. All right. We're going to take our Bible. We're going to turn to Exodus chapter 20 again. Amen. Or you can just quote it if you remember it. I think you probably could quote it, but it is the first commandment of the Ten Commandments. Amen. And we've been talking about this for the last 2 weeks. If you remember, the first Sunday we talked about how God doesn't ever change. He never changes. And we talked about the children of Israel. We talked about their journey out of Egypt and across the Red Sea and into the Promised Land and all the way up to the door of the Promised Land. We talked about how God's plan was the same for them as it is for us. He did it a little different, but they started out with the blood. Amen. God delivered them, and they went through the Red Sea again, which is another picture of the blood. Amen. And they got into the Promised Land. God gave him his commands for obedience, because once we get saved, we're to be obedient. Amen. He protected them. He provided for them. He gave them a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He fed them. Their shoes grew on their feet. Their clothes didn't wear out. They got bread from heaven. Amen. He led them by his Spirit. Amen. So God very much doesn't change. Amen. And then last week we talked about the fact that we are to shut out all idols in our life. God says that he is to be first place. Amen. God demands first place in our life. He will not accept second place or third place or anything else. God only wants first. Amen. We talked last week about how we have idols in our life, even though we don't realize it. We have idols, and Paul told all those that he led to Christ, they were to come out and turn from idols to trust the living God. You can't do both. You can't trust God and trust idols. You can't worship money and worship God. You're going to love one and hate the other. You cannot serve two masters. The Bible tells us that. You can't serve beauty. You can't let love for another person get in the way of God. Amen. We talked about so many things that get in the way of our service to God, and we'll revisit that thought eventually when we're in the study. But I told you there are three facets, really, to what this thought I had last Sunday, and I could only get one in. I'm only going to get one in this morning, but I think it'll be plenty enough. Last week, we talked about how the commandment, and let's go ahead and read it, Exodus 20, verse 3. The Bible says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Let's read that together. You ready? "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Okay. God's serious about that. That's the first commandment he put in there. Amen. Before anything else, that's the most important one. The first one he mentioned, no other gods. We talked about that. These three points on this one thought. Number one, that we are to shut out, that command shuts out all other gods. Number two, that we are to be shut up to God. And number three, that we are to be shut in to God. Amen. I'll explain all that as we go. But this morning we're going to talk about that we are to be shut up to God. And let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to meet with us and bless us this morning. Father and Lord, we love you this morning. And Lord, I'm thankful, Father, Lord, to be able to come into this thy house. Father, Lord, I know this is just a building. Lord, I know that this building was set aside for your use, but the building doesn't make it holy. Lord, we're your temples. And Lord, when your family come together, Lord, I praise you because I know you're in the midst. Lord God, I pray for you to meet with us today. Lord, that we might feel your presence. Lord, that you might touch us in our hearts and our souls. Lord, that we might feel the Holy Ghost moving in us and working and setting things in order in our life. Father, that's why we're here. We need you. We feel our need of you. And Lord God, we want you to respond. Father, we pray that you'd come and meet with us now this morning, Lord. I pray, Lord, for those who are listening this morning on the internet. Lord God, and many people all over the country, all over the world. And Father, we pray your blessings be upon them, Lord, and the Word of God would cut into their hearts, Lord, this morning and do a work in them. Father God, I pray, Lord, for someone out there maybe listening, just found us by accident, Lord, and we know it's not an accident. We know, Lord, nothing happens by accident, that everything's a divine appointment. But, Lord, those that you've divinely appointed to find us, Lord, on the internet, Father, we pray that, Lord, they might be blessed. Lord, that they might, Lord, somebody out there listening who's not saved, they may come to realize this morning, Lord, you are the only one true God. And the only way of salvation is through the blood of Jesus. Lord God, I pray this be the day that they come in repentance and faith and trust Christ and be born again, get it settled for eternity. Father God, I pray you'd open up the understanding of each and every one here this morning. Holy Ghost of God, steer the Word of God into their souls. And Lord, make application there. I pray, Lord, that they would, Lord, each and every one, make application. Lord, that we might be drawn into a relationship of more holiness in our life, Father, more of a dependence on thee, and Lord, the blessings and the rewards and the joy that comes with that. Lord God, I just pray, Lord, that you just capture our attention this morning and teach us. Feed us, Father. We need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Shut up to God. Very much a very simple idea. We've done it. The picture that I want to give you, we've done here many times in this church, right here in this very spot. A man and woman usually, well, a man usually comes down first, and then a woman comes down after, and she stands right here. And we have a ceremony whereby we unite them in holy matrimony before God, and they make a covenant with God they enter into. And when that man says to that woman, "I take thee to be my wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, in sickness and health, richer for poor, all those things, better for worse." When they do that and they say those things, what is he saying to his soon-to-be bride? He's saying, "I'm off the market. I'm not looking for another one. I have found the one I'm looking for. I'm not going to look for another wife. I'm not going to look for another woman. I'm done. I have found the helper that God has given me, and I am off the market. Amen. When she stands there and she says to him, I take thee to be my husband, to having to hold him this day forward, richer, poor, sickness and health, better or worse, all those things, to love and to cherish, honor and obey, all those things. When she says that to him, what she's saying is, I'm off the market. I am done. I am yours from here on out. I am yielding to you as my husband. Amen? Y'all all agree with that, right? Amen. So that's what it means to be shut up to somebody. I am exclusively with that person. I'm not in some open relationship, godless open relationship. No. And listen to me, you and I are in very much the same kind of relationship with God. When you came to Christ and you became a child of God, you entered into an exclusive relationship, and you are to have no other in your life who compares to him. Amen. And that's why marriage is so important. I didn't come this morning to preach on marriage, but that's why marriage commitment is so important. Because for a Christian, you got to understand, that's a picture of Christ and his church. And God doesn't like having that picture destroyed. Amen? He doesn't like it when someone strays outside of the bonds of marriage and into adultery. Listen, why? Because I tell you, besides the fact that it's sin, it is saying, it's giving this idea that, it's giving off this idea that, hey, I'm not shut up exclusively in this relationship. I want something more. All right? And that's a picture, that relationship is a picture of us and our God. So when a man goes outside the marriage, when a woman goes outside the marriage, they're saying, hey, I'm saying with my actions, I want some other God in my life. That's what the picture is. Amen? It's destroying that picture of our relationship with God. Listen to me. What I want to say to you, when God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me, he's saying, you are to be off the market completely. You are to be shut up completely to me. And there is to be full and total consecration to God. Amen. Full and total consecration to God. Now, how many of y'all could define the word consecration? Really? I'm going to ask. You want me to ask you and let you give me? No, y'all don't want to give no definition. Here, let me give you the definition this morning. Amen. Consecration. Now, you say, where'd you get this at? I got this out of Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary. One of the oldest dictionary you can get in America. Amen. Noah Webster, why is that so important? Because Noah Webster was a God-fearing Christian man, and he used scripture references all through his dictionary. In consecration in Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, here's what it says. The act of ceremony of separating from a common to a sacred use. Something went from being just whatever, I'll do whatever I want to with this, to this is set aside just for God. Amen? It is, or of devoting and dedicating a person or a thing to the service and worship of God. Can't use it for anything else. It's dedicated to the service and worship of God by certain rites and solemnities. In other words, it's a serious thing. It's not a light thing. It's a very serious, solemn thing to dedicate yourself to God. Consecration, now listen, consecration does not make a person holy, but declares it to be sacred. That is, devoted to God or divine service. So when we say, when that song that I sang last, when did I sing it? Wednesday night, or I can't remember, but that Frances Havergal song, Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. She's saying in that song, Lord, I want to be completely yours. I don't want to be wasting my life. I don't want to waste my actions, my words, my thoughts, my feelings. I want everything in my being and everything that I am to glorify you. I want everything that I do to be a part of my service to you. I don't want to try to pretend as though I have a separate life over here that I can draw a circle around and say, this is mine here. And then over here, I will draw a little circle and say, this here, I'll give this to God. If we did that, if somehow we could show a percentage of our life that was really truly used for God and how much we just did our own thing in, I think we'd all be shocked at how much time we waste, how much we do on our own for our own selfish feelings and selfish reasons, and how little we give to God truly. I really think we'd all be shocked with that if we knew how much. Listen to me, we're not as consecrated as we think we are. We're not as consecrated as we pretend to be or would like others to think we are. Amen. We need to be totally and wholly devoted to God, because I can tell you something, there's coming a day when all you're going to know and all you're going to see is God. Amen. You're going to be with Him someday, and there won't be any more of this world. This world is fading. This world is passing away, and it will be gone someday, and all there will be left is God. And you don't want to get there and miss this old world. Amen. You can't miss this old world, but I'm telling you, if it's all you've ever known, you're going to feel out of place in heaven. We've already talked about that, and we talked about the judgment seat of Christ. But as we get into this study today, as we talk about this, that word consecration, and then we run into this word called yield. And you'll find this word yield in our scripture this morning. That word yield means this: to place a person or a thing at one's disposal. Now, that's the text. That's the meaning of it in the text. Amen? When it talks about yielding to God, it means to put yourself in God's reach. Amen? Y'all follow me? Amen? I can tell you, when I lay down my head at night to go to sleep, there is a .40 caliber pistol within my reach. Amen? I sleep there with it where I can grab it. Amen? Amen? It's for my use, and it's for a burglar that wants to come into my house. Amen? It's there for my use. Amen? So just very much like it, God, hey, He's got me. I'm not nothing like a .40 caliber. Amen? But hey, He's got me at his use. Amen? And that's the way we're all to be. God is to use us. He's to be able to reach and get us anytime He wants to use us for His will and His purpose in this world. Amen? So, having said that, let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Amen? I'm going to give you a few thoughts, and we'll go to the house. I'm going to do the best I can to get done as timely as I can. I know there's folks that needs to do things today, and I want to get this message across to you. Amen? Number one, the thought that I want to get across to you when it comes to being consecrated to God or shut up to God, it means exclusive to Him, amen? The first thing you've got to understand is that you have got to yield. Romans chapter 12, 1 through 3, the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. I'm begging you, fellas. I'm begging you, sisters, by the mercies of God, in light of what God has done for you, in light of the salvation that you have through the blood of Jesus, in light of eternal life that you have through Christ, He says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now let's just stop there for a minute. Paul says, you need to present your bodies. Now that word, I know I've taught this before, but I don't know who was here when I taught it. You present your body. That word present, you know what it means? Present, it means to place near the hand. When you present somebody with an award or trophy, when a kid gets done with the baseball season and they all line up and they come get their little ribbon with their little medal or whatever or their little trophy, what do? They don't shove it in their hand and say, take this, kid. No, they hold it out and they present an award. And the kid reaches and gets it. It's placed near the hand. Amen. When they give a trophy or an award to anybody, they place it near the hand. A Super Bowl trophy. They don't shove it into the coach's hand. They, hey, here, coach. And the coach takes it. It's placed near the hand. And the same thing with us. God's not going to come and reach and grab you. God is waiting for you to put yourself near His hand where He can take you when he gets ready to use you. God doesn't want to have to hunt you down and give you a whooping every time He gets ready to do anything with you. Amen. You wouldn't want a kid like that either, that you had to chase down and give a whooping to before they do anything you ask them to. Ain't a person in here wants that. Amen. And God doesn't want that from you either. God don't want to spank you to get you to do anything for Him. God wants you to be there presenting your body. Now you say, why my body? You ever realize your body is the only true possession you have in this life? It's the only thing you came in with. And that's the only thing you have left when you're done. We have to get rid of it. We have to put it somewhere. Listen, that's your only true possession in this life is your body. It's the only thing you have, really. And God says, I want that. God says, that's what I want. That's your vehicle. I want your vehicle in this life. I want it to be used for me. God says, put yourself, your body, your life, near my hand. Again, I don't have time to go through all this, but we know we've taught about it. Listen, that Satanism teaches, hey, do what you want. It's your life. Do what you will with it. And God says, no, put your life right here next to me where I can take and do with you what I want to. It's the absolute opposite of what this world teaches you. God says you're not to be wherever you want to be, doing whatever you want to do anytime you want to do it. You're to be where I want you to be, doing what I want you to do when I want you to do it. And that's where the blessing and the rewards of this life are. That's where the good stuff is. It's near the hand of God. He says, so present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's an odd term, but here's what it means. Listen, a sacrifice, we know what that means. That means something had to die. Something bled out, and it was placed upon an altar. Well, that's not what God wants. God doesn't want you dead, amen. God wants you living. He wants the life that you have. He wants you to yield that life to Him, a living sacrifice. Listen, you don't die. You continue to live, but you give it to Him. Present your body, your life, a living sacrifice. Lord, you get the rest of my life. And it says it's to be holy. It's to be holy. It's to be kept from sin. It's to be lived according to God's way and God's rules and God's doing. Amen. Holy. And He said it's to be acceptable unto God. Not to you, not to others, not to your pastor, but to God. And He says, not your reasonable service. That's reasonable. That's just reasonable. You say, that's just reasonable. Yes, you can go far beyond that. And many have. And many still do. Amen. Listen, we've just accepted a entry-level position and we got happy with it. You can go up the ladder in God's service. Amen. God said, hey, there ain't no glass ceiling here. You can just go as high as you want to with me. Amen. That's why the songwriter wrote the song, Lord, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I want to be. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to go higher. Amen. Like that brother said in here the other day, listen, I want that mountain. That's what that man said, didn't he? I want the mountain. Who said that? I can't even remember who it was. He said Wednesday night. I can't even remember in the Bible who that was. Doesn't matter. Let's just go on from that. Amen. Let's don't magnify my forgetfulness. Amen. So, but he said, if you're going to give your body a living sacrifice, if you're going to yield to me, and he said, you can't yield to both. And here's why verse 2 says this, and be not conformed to this world. See, because you, when you conform to some, it's like when I was a kid, they used to, they probably still do, they made them goofy-looking ice trays that had different shapes in them, looked like bugs and stuff, and you pour your water in there and it freezes, looked like a bug, and you drop it in somebody's glass and it looks like a bug floating in their glass or something. You pour water in there, it freezes, it conforms to the image. We talked about that not too long ago, about how metal pours and forms into a mold, amen? So the Bible says don't be conformed to this world. Don't set this world as your standard. In other words, like we said a couple weeks ago, not after this world, not after the flesh. We are not to look like this world, talk like this world, act like this world, behave like this. We're not supposed to do that. We're called with a higher calling than that. Listen, we're called to be the child of the King. Amen. We're called to walk beside our Savior. We're called to share in His presence daily. And if we do that, we're not going to be conformed to this world because they're two totally different ideas. He said, but no, what I want you to do is be transformed, be changed. Be completely changed. We know what transformers are, unfortunately, because all this garbage on TV and movies. But be transformed, be totally changed into something that you weren't before. Amen? How? By renewing your mind. By renewing your mind. You know what that means? That means I need to stay in this book. You know why? Because this book's the only thing that makes me different. This book's the only thing that changes me. And it says that we need to be transformed. And listen, that's going to have to happen continuously. Renewing your mind. That takes place daily. Why? Because daily the devil's working on your mind. Daily the devil's trying to change you. So you need to combat that with the Word of God. Amen? He said, and why? Why is all that important? He says, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, so that you will get out there and live out what God's telling you to live out. So you'll get out there and it's not just words on paper anymore. It's actual experience and life that you're seeing. God's word's true. Amen? It's not enough just to talk about it and think about it. You got to go for it and live it. Amen? And God will give you the strength and he'll give you the power to live it. But God's not going to do that if you're rebelling and doing things according to the course of this world. You have got to yield. You've got to come before him and bow before him, realizing that he's your God and you're not God. And you yield to him and say, Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. I'm here. Lord, please do with me what you want. I'm confessing sin and I want it gone out of my life and I need the power of God in my life and I want to be right there when you get ready to use somebody. I want you to reach and get me. I want to do whatever you want me to do. Now listen, Paul explains it the very best way that he can. Look in Romans 6:19. Romans 6:19. Paul breaks it down for those in the book of Romans. He breaks it down on a level that they can all understand. And I think we can understand this too. The Bible says in Romans 6:19, he says, I speak after the manner of men. I'm going to talk to you down on your level the way you think, so that you understand what I'm saying. That's what he means when I'm going to speak after the manner of men. He said, because of the infirmity of your flesh. Because your flesh is weak. Amen? You're weak. And I want to get down on your weak level where you understand what I'm saying. He said, for as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity. Now listen to what he just said. He said, just like you have put yourself next to uncleanness. You used to, it didn't bother you to go into a bar room and drink and commit the sins of the flesh. It didn't used to bother you to do that. It didn't used to bother you to talk nasty. It didn't used to bother you to see perversion and things like that. I mean, he's talking to people who lived in a society where homosexuality was rampant. Pagan temples full of prostitutes was common. Drunkenness and orgies were very common in Roman society. Okay, he's saying, y'all used to be go-getters when it came to that stuff. Y'all used to have no problem just jumping into that headlong and just party, party, party and giving yourself to it. And I mean, one sin led to another sin. You just got worse and worse. The further you got into it, the stronger a sinner you became. And that's what he's saying. You got filthy in that stuff, and you know you did. That's how you used to do. You yielded your members. You said, my hands will do whatever I want them to. My mind will think what it wants to. My eyeballs will think what they see what they want to. My feet will go where they want to. He said, you yielded before to uncleanness and to iniquity. Unto iniquity. He said, the same way you used to do that, the same way you used to be a go-getter after the wrong thing, he said, hey, even so now, yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. You get after serving God with the same vigor and intensity that you used to get out and serve sin. That's what he said. He said, I'm going to break it down where you understand it. Amen? You're doing a 180 from what you used to be. That's why the Bible talks about repentance. It's turning from sin to God, see? It's a 180. You go in the opposite direction you used to go. Now, instead of being a servant to sin, you're a servant to God and Him only. See, Paul says you need to yield. That's what he taught, amen, that we need to yield to God. We need to be placing ourselves daily right there at God's throne. And saying, God, here I am to be used of you. I'm yours. I'm not anybody else's but yours. I came to you and I trusted you. And Father, you provided me with a Savior and you redeemed me. You purchased me. So I'm yours. There's nowhere else for me to be but here with you. Because I'm yours. Amen? And we see that when we look at what it cost God to pay for us. And I know I've talked about this, but let's look at all the scripture, amen. 1 Corinthians 6:20. Turn over with me. 1 Corinthians 6:20. You got to understand, you got to look at what it cost God to understand how serious he is. 1 Corinthians 6:20. The Bible says, for ye are bought with a price. He put that word in there. He wants you to understand that it costs something. Ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. That's that living sacrifice. That's that living sacrifice. Glorifying God in your body. Not, when I get to heaven, boy, I'm going to praise him there. Well, praise him now. Boy, I can't wait to get to heaven singing that choir. Well, sing now. You're bought with a price. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They yours. They're God's. And then turn over a chapter to chapter 7. Look at verse 23. Chapter 7, verse 23, he says, ye are bought with a what? A price. Funny, God mentions that again. He wants us to know that. He wants us to think on that. We know about price. We go to buy anything. We're concerned about what the price is. I mean, we care about stuff like that. We ought to be concerned about the price that God paid. We ought to look at it. I mean, we value things based on their price, don't we? Right? If something's high quality, it's going to be a higher price. Amen. Lady we've been dealing with in the food business, she told Stephanie this. She said, don't ever say something's cheap. Say it's inexpensive. And we ain't supposed to look at things as cheap. Cheap means ain't no good. Amen. Inexpensive is a little bit different than cheap. Amen. You know what? If we look at something, we say it's cheap. It don't cost much, and it probably ain't worth very much either. Amen. You get what you pay for. Okay. Well, what did he pay for? He paid for us. And what did it cost? He said, ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Listen, don't you do things in this life according to what man tells you. You live according to God, because man's not more important than God. Doesn't matter how up in government he is. Don't make no difference how many guns he's got. Doesn't make any difference how many people are behind him. If he's contradicting God, forget him. You serve God. You bought with a price. Government didn't pay for you. By the way, that Social Security check, you earned every dime you're going to get, amen? Hey, they ain't giving you nothing. It's yours. They borrowed it, amen? Listen, the government don't owe you nothing, amen? They owe you nothing. Or I'll rephrase that. You owe them nothing. Amen. You're bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Acts 20:28. Turn over there quickly. Acts 20:28. Well, what is the price? Well, we're going to see. Acts 20:28. The Bible says, take heed. That means pay attention. Therefore, unto yourselves. We need to pay attention to ourselves. Why? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the world is trying to conform you. The world's trying to change you into its image. Amen? Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and unto all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. He's talking to pastors, but it doesn't matter. It's all... we're all encompassed in this thing. Over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. There's three. And listen, he says yourselves. He says all the flock, the church of God. He's talking about us, which he hath purchased with his own blood. That's the price. The price is the blood of God's only begotten Son. And when I step back and I look at that and I think about that and I contemplate that, what a price was paid for me. How valuable must I be to God that he saw fit to not only let Jesus die, but let's back up.
Everything that has ever been done since the world began has been for one sole purpose, and that was to get Jesus into this world to die on the cross so you and I could be saved. And down through history, why do you think it was that the devil tried to destroy all the bloodline of Jesus? Why? Because he wanted to try to stop and prevent his birth so that he could prevent him dying for us, so that he could prevent salvation, because that's what he wanted to do, was send us all to hell. Amen. He wanted us all to be in hell. Amen. All that has been done, all the struggles and the trials down through the Old Testament, all to bring Jesus into this world so that you and I could be bought with his blood. All that was done for me. I watched a sermon one time where it was gone, all that was gone through, all through the Bible. There was one little black boy up in the balcony, and the man that was preaching called him down. And it was in a large church. Called this one little black boy, just picked him out of the crowd and brought him down, stood him on the platform. His name was David Thompson. I'll never forget that. And the preacher went on to preach about all that God has done. And God did all that for David Thompson. He just went down through history, all the great works of God and all that was done for David Thompson. And I could put you up here and I could say the very same thing about you. It was all done for you. Why? Because God bought you with a price. He purchased us with his own blood. The blood of the Son of God, that's what you cost. That's worth something to God. That's expensive. There's no other blood like that blood. That was the only blood that could work. In Hebrews 9:12, it says, neither by blood of goats or calves. All them Old Testament sacrifices, they could not pay the price. They only represented the blood that would do it. All of that was a picture. All of that was a type. It was a foreshadowing, amen, to bring. It was a big, bold advertisement for the blood that would do it. Neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That's what it cost. In Revelation 5:9, one of my favorite passages in the Bible, amen. It was the passage that confirmed to me 100% without anybody else's approval, amen, that the rapture takes place before the tribulation. It settled it for me when I read it, because it pictures in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, the saints of God in heaven praising Jesus for redeeming us. And he says they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. There's only one group that fits out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. That's not the Jews, folks. That's one group and one group only, and that's the church of the living God that was redeemed by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. God has redeemed us by the blood. That's what we cost. That's why it's so important that we value that blood that was paid for our sins. And because we value that so highly, we say, that's where I belong, right there by God. That's where I belong, within God's grasp. That's where I belong, separated, holy to the one who bought me, the one who's made a way for me to be with him forevermore. He is the love of my heart and my soul and my life. And therefore, I owe him my all. Now, we're to yield to him. We're to yield. Can I tell you where you were eternally designed to fit in at? Amen? Because you were. You were eternally designed to fit in. God doesn't do things just willy-nilly however he wants. God does things according to a plan. God is a very organized and structured God. He's not just whatever. Amen? No, in 1 Peter 2:9, the Bible says, but ye are a chosen generation. You're a chosen generation. He says in 1 Peter 1:2, he tells that we are elect. That means chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. We talked about that last Sunday, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe it was the Sunday before. Listen, that God chose us to be saved. Now, he didn't choose us because we were any better than anybody else, and that doesn't mean he chose some people to go to hell. Here's what it means. According to the foreknowledge, God knew ahead of time who would be saved and who wouldn't be saved. God's not making them make that choice. God knows who's going to make the choice. And because of that, he has a plan for us. God's not waiting around rubbing his hands and scratching his head going, I wonder who's going to be saved. God knows. So because God knows, God has it all planned out. I was going to do a sermon on this. I'll mention it now. I may work on it later on. But I read a good article. It was written. I can't remember who wrote the article. I'm sure you probably read it. But it was talking about, I believe it was written by Ken Ham, that creationist who debated Bill Nye, the science guy. And he asked a question. He said, what was God doing before the world began? You ever thought about that? You ever thought about what God was doing before he created everything? Y'all ain't ever thought about that, have you? What was he doing? That's a heavy thought. Well, understand something. And I'll tell you this real quick, and I may preach this again. But God made time. I've told you this before. God made time. There was no time before God made time. So things weren't counted according to time. Amen? There's been eternity. But there's no time. Time, eternity isn't governed by time. Eternity is eternity. Amen? Has no beginning and no end. But time has a beginning and an end. There's a start and a stop. And God created time so that we could live out this Bible within it. Amen? He created time so we would understand how it worked. Amen? But God was outside of that, and he's always been outside of that. But we only understand things according to the time. That's why we got a clock up there. That's why we have calendars on our walls. Amen? That's why they take stopwatches and see how fast people do things. Amen? Time is so important to us, but it ain't important to God. God isn't governed by it. So what was God doing before it? Nothing, I suppose, because he didn't have to. He's God. Amen? It's not like God was hanging around bored thinking, man, how much longer till I create man? I mean, God, listen, he lives in eternity. And that's bigger than our heads are. So understand, God's had all this stuff planned out forever. Amen? It kind of blows my mind, but hey, guess what? I've told you before. Really, all this is happening right now in here. This whole world, everything we know. I know that's kind of a weird thought, but hey, everything we know, everything we can see, smell, taste, and touch exists within the pages of this book. Amen? And someday all this will be gone, but this book will remain. Amen? That's heavy stuff, folks. I'm telling you, though, listen, God says you're eternally designed to fit in with his people. You are a chosen generation, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification, the separating out of the Spirit, amen, the wooing unto obedience, the sprinkling the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace be multiplied. He said you're a chosen generation. He said you're a royal priesthood. You see, God has chosen us to be his priests, amen. We're priests of the Most High God, amen. The Bible tells us in Revelation 5:10, the Bible says, and has made us unto our God kings and priests. He's made me a king and a priest, a royal priest. You're a royal priest, amen. And we shall reign on the earth. And when we get into that a little further in our study on Wednesday night, on the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, we're talking right now about thy kingdom come. We're going to see about that, how we're going to be priests and kings for him. Amen. But listen, God designed us to be his chosen, his royal priest. Amen. And he said, a peculiar people. 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You're going to wrap your head around all that. You're going to have to understand that concept of God creating time and everything happening within it. For you're going to understand some of these verses fully. You got to step back and look at things from God's point of view to understand it and see it. Amen? He called us with a holy calling before the world began. Again, because he knew before the world began that you would trust Christ. So God has designed for you to fit in a certain crowd. He's designed for you to fit with that crowd, and he's designed for that crowd to sit and wait on him. Amen? And he said that we're to be a peculiar people. Titus 2:14, the Bible says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself, that's right near his hand, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. You know what that means? Lord, what can I do for you today? Lord, what can I do for you? Lord, I want to serve you. Lord, please use me. Use me. You know that kid in school? With their hand up. Y'all remember that kid. Amen. Maybe he was that kid. That's the way God wants us at his throne. Use me, God. Use me. Oh, Lord, use me. Zealous unto good works. Peculiar. Odd. That guy's a nut for Jesus. Yeah, he is. That woman's crazy for the Lord. Yes, she is. Praise God. There's nothing wrong with that. He's called us a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. For what? That you should show forth. That's our job. Listen to this. Don't miss this. This is where we fit in. Showing forth the praises. Being open about it. No hesitation. Praising God. Praising him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Listen, we're to be in his hand, right hand. We're to be there waiting on him. Oh, God, use me. And praising and shouting and giving him glory and talking about how good he is and how wonderful his salvation is and telling others how good God has been to you and looking for opportunities to be used by him. That's where you fit. You may not realize it because you've never actually just stepped out by faith and said, you know, I'm just going to go all out for God. It's time you did. You ain't figured out that that's the best place for you. You ain't understood that all in for God, it ain't going to be no bad thing. No, you get all in for God. Listen, you'll find out that's where the true blessings and the true rewards are. That's where the good stuff is. Amen. But a lot of people are afraid to step out by faith and just say, you know what? I'm gonna unchain from the world. I'm all in for God. That's where you fit, though. Let me tell you where you don't fit. You don't fit in the old world like you used to. The Bible tells us in Romans 6:13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Don't you dare put yourself near that unrighteous stuff you used to be around. Sitting there waiting for the devil to lure you back in. Don't sit and long for it. Don't sit and watch others do things you used to do and wish you could still do it. See, that's putting yourself near that hand. Not God's hand, but you're putting it near the hand of Satan and saying, hey, that sure does look like fun, that stuff I used to do. No! God says, hey, that ain't where you don't fit in there no more. Don't yield yourself. Don't yield your hands. Listen to me. You aren't made for that anymore. Your hands are not made for sin anymore. Your hands are not made to do 12-ounce curls at the bar anymore. Amen. Your eyes aren't made to stare at pornography. Amen. Your feet are not made to go into places you shouldn't go. Your mind is not made to be a corrupt playground. God has created you for his use and his use alone. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Lord, use my hands to help somebody else. Lord, use my eyes to see someone else who is in need. Lord, use my mind to give me wisdom in order to help someone else. Lord God, take my feet and use them to go to somebody who's in need. Lord, make my heart to beat for thee. That's what we're asking for. Can I tell you, though, too many people go back. And I've showed you this before, but I'm going to do it again just because I want to. Amen. Hey, I don't know who put this $20 bill in up here, but how many of y'all that put a 20 in this morning would like to come back and get your money? Huh? Is it yours anymore? Any of y'all going to claim in this money? There's checks in there, got names on them. Y'all still claim them? Why? Paper? But you gave it to God, didn't you? It belongs to him now, doesn't it? Once it's in this little wooden plate, it belongs to him, doesn't it? Y'all ain't nobody in here got enough nerve to come up here and take your money back. You know what somebody would call you if you did that? Huh? They got to go somewhere. Look up here. We'll see them later. You know what somebody'd call you if you done that? They'd call you a thief. Amen. Listen, if you're taking something off of God's altar, I know that's not God's altar, that's the Lord's Supper table. But let's be honest, we brought it up here and we gave it to God. Right? Okay, so if we took that money that we gave to God, we'd be a thief. We're taking stealing right off the altar of God. Well, if you've yielded your, if you got down at this old altar or somewhere else, you said, Lord God, I want you to use me, take my life and do something with it. I give myself to you. You have put yourself on God's altar. And if you take yourself back off of God's altar, you're a thief. You're a dirty thief. Now you got twice as much to get right with God over. Besides your anger at me for pointing it out to you. Amen. Hey, what'd you have to go say that for? What? No, but you gave it to God. You took it back as thief. You don't fit there no more. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You see, old things, that's why they're called old things, because they're not new things, they're old things. Those things are passed away. Those old things are dead, and you are not to go back and love dead things. Listen, I got out in my pasture, my favorite dog I ever owned, Hank. Loved that dog, blue-eyed Australian Shepherd. When I buried him, I made a great big old mound of dirt and buried him out there in the backyard. I'd always see that mound of dirt, and I'd always think about him. That's old Hank. He was a good one. But I can tell you, there ain't never been a time where I went out there and I dug through that dirt to find him. I don't want to play with Hank no more. Hank's bones now. He died in 2011. He ain't there no more. That's a pile of bones. Wouldn't make much sense to go out there and try to play with Hank. Wouldn't make much sense for you to go back and try to play with your old way of life either. Wouldn't make much sense you go back to the things that used to hurt you and play with those things again. They're only going to hurt you. Those things are dead. Those things are gone. You don't belong with that anymore. He said, behold, all things are become new. Romans 7:5 says, for when we were in the flesh, that's when we were lost. When we were, listen to what it says in Romans 7:5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Okay, let me put that in easy English so you can all understand what it said. When we were lost, the sinful things that we did, that we knew were sinful because the Bible told us they were. That's how you come to know things were sinful. Those things made us more corrupt and were killing us and had us condemned before God. Okay? Those were the things of the flesh. That's what they did to us. We knew they were wrong because the Bible said they were wrong, and they were corrupting us more and more and killing us. Okay? Listen, the Bible says that things are new now. They're not like that anymore. See, we aren't being corrupted anymore. And the things that the corrupt things in our life, yes, some of them are still there, but they should be dying off and falling aside. Amen. Just like a snake, at some point, its skin becomes brittle and it starts coming off and it sheds and it gets rid of that old skin. That old skin doesn't work for it anymore. It's not. It's changing. Listen, when that caterpillar crawls up into that and makes that cocoon, inside that cocoon, it transforms into a butterfly. It doesn't put back on a caterpillar skin at some point. It has become something totally different, something totally new. And you and I can't go back to the way we were before and fit there because we don't fit there anymore. That's not who we are anymore. We aren't being corrupted. Listen, like I said, the corrupt things should be dying off and falling aside from us. And if that's not happening in your life, listen to what I'm saying. If the corrupt things in your life are not dying and falling aside, listen to me, then you should be fighting conviction as hard as you can, because listen, the Holy Ghost of God will be convicting your heart if you're not losing those things that don't belong in your life. That's His job. Is to reprove the world of sin. And listen, if you're still doing those things, if you still got that stuff in your life, then you ought to be under conviction every time you fall into it, and know that it's wrong, and know that it's hurting you, and know that it's killing you, and it's causing you to have a terrible testimony before God. You're fighting conviction. And if you're not fighting conviction, turn from your sin and come to Christ, because you're not saved. Because if you're a child of God, the Holy Ghost of God is dealing with you about your sin. You can come to Christ and be saved. He'll save you. Amen. But I'm telling you, a believer, listen to me, a believer is not to live like that. Amen. Romans 7, look down, Romans 7, 23 through 25. The Bible says, Paul said, "But I see another law in my members." That law, that same thing that he saw before. Hey, he says, "I see another law in my members, warring, at war against the law of my mind, bringing me in captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." Captivity, handcuffs, shackles, bondage. That's what sin does. It makes you a slave. And you do whatever sin wants you to do. Amen. You're shackled. You're not able to serve God because you're shackled up in bondage to that sin. You can't be a servant of God. You can't do what you want to do. You're under the control and domination of sin. That's what Paul said. He said, "I see that law that's in his flesh that he's still got. And it's at war against his mind." He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me?" You see, when somebody's in bondage, that's what they want. They want out. Deliver me! I guarantee you, when you're behind bars, you think, how long before they come down and turn that key? I'm ready for them to turn that key. Let me out of here. I want somebody to deliver me from this bondage. Amen? Hey, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He's talking about all those things that should be falling away. All those things keep pulling him down from serving God. All those things that keep him from waiting at God's right hand and saying, "Lord, please use me." That war is going on. He said, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." You know what he's talking about there? He's talking about yielding. The answer to bondage is to yield to God. He said, "I thank God through Jesus Christ." Jesus is the one, His power. That's what sets me free from that bondage. I love Him. I shut out all the rest of the world, and I love the Lord. And loving the Lord and shutting out the world frees me from the bondage of sin. He said, "So then with the mind..." You know why he says the mind? He said, because that's where I understand the Word of God. I hear it, and I store it in here and in here. It's in my mind. I know what's right. God's told me what's right. I know what I'm supposed to do. That law is in my mind. I know that. He said, so then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. I know God's right. but with the flesh, the law of sin. And when you look in Romans 8:2, you see the Bible says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. You see, yielding to God has made me free from bondage. When I yield, when I say, God, you do whatever you want to with me, Lord, I'm yours. I love you, and I yielded myself to you, and I trusted Christ, and I'm born again, and I know for sure that I'm saved. I'm yours. I'm not going to run off and do what I want to do. I want to sit by your throne. I want to be in your presence. I want your love surrounding me. I want you to love on me, and I want you to teach me, and I want you to make me like you. I want you to make me like you, Lord. I want to be like you. I want to be as close to you as I can be. I want when people look at me, they don't just see me, they see you. Amen. Listen, you've heard about married couples. You didn't see one without the other. That's just the same way. God wants to say, hey, I don't want to see Brandon unless I see God. I don't want to see Brenna unless I see God with Brenna. I don't want to see Mom unless I see God with her. Spending time with God, getting close to Him, yielding to Him, saying, Lord, here I am. Take my life. Do whatever you want to with me. That will free you from bondage. And what does this yielding produce? I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, and we're about to close with this. We've got a few verses to read here, but Galatians chapter 1. I want you to look and listen to the Apostle Paul. Galatians chapter 1. And we're going to look at this whole chapter. It's only 24 verses, and we'll be done. Bible says, Paul, an apostle. Now, I'm going to show you, this is what it produces when you yield to God. Paul, an apostle, not of men. Man didn't make me an apostle. Not of men, neither by man. Hey, it didn't happen because of who I was, and it didn't happen because of anybody else doing anything. He said, but by Jesus Christ. He's the one that made me an apostle. He said, and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us. You see that word there? That's from bondage. Deliver us from this present evil world. The Word of God's timeless. You see, He's not just talking about the present evil world that Paul lived in. He's talking about the present evil world that you and I live in. Hey, God's able to deliver us from this present evil world. According to the will of God and our Father. Well, how are you going to get in that will? Well, you're going to have to put yourself right there next to Him, aren't you? Lord, I'm here with you, and I want to be whatever you want me to be. Okay. God says, hey, I can deliver you from this present evil world, and it's according to my will. To whom be glory forever and ever. And he says, I marvel, I can't believe that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the gospel of grace unto another gospel. Which is not another. It's not the same kind. It's not the same thing. But there be some that trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. Well, that's going on all around us right now. People are perverting the gospel of Christ everywhere. People are preaching anything but the truth. I hate to use that term, this plastic Jesus, but this plastic cartoon Jesus that these phony fake preachers preach about. One who doesn't condemn sin. One who doesn't demand holiness. That Jesus doesn't exist. No, the one that lives, the one that's right here in the pages of the Word of God, he's a whole different Jesus from the one that these charlatans are preaching today. No, he said it's not another. He said, but there would be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. He said, now listen to what he said. Now this is what the gospel, this is what the power of God will do in a man. He said, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that we which have preached that, let me read that again, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And let me reemphasize that word accursed there. Do you realize what that word accursed means? It means the opposite of blessed. It's the opposite of God's blessings. It's God's cursings. Hey, you know what Paul's saying? Can I be a little bit crude with you? He said, let them go to hell. Anybody preaches anything else, let him go to hell. Now, he's not cussing. He's simply expressing exactly what God says about it. And again, he said, as we said before, and so now I say again, if any man preach another gospel, any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. He can go to hell. He said, do I now persuade men or God? I'm trying to persuade men to believe. I'm not trying to persuade God to change his way of salvation. Hey, I ain't going to change God. I'm here to change men. He said, or do I seek to please men? No, I ain't here to please man. I don't care what you think about me. I want you to know what God said. He's the only one that matters. He said, for if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. I can't serve God and men. Listen, again, God is the only one that matters. It doesn't matter what man says. It doesn't matter what man thinks. It doesn't matter what man feels. It doesn't matter what man demands. God is all that matters. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Ain't no man going to stand and be no God. He said in verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Listen, don't miss that word after. The gospel that I preach, it ain't got the standard of man. Because you see, man's got all kinds of ways of believing that he's saved. You know what the standard of man is? Well, if I'm good enough, if I live a good enough life, I mean, I think that's what Paul means here. He said the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. It ain't according to man's standards. He said, for, listen to this, I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Man didn't teach me what I know. Man didn't teach me how to be saved. No, he said, for ye have heard in my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Oh, he said, hey, I was good at the Jewish religion. I was good at it, and I was after those Christians. Hey, Paul wasn't no different from these ISIS people who are going around chopping people, Christians' heads off, putting them on stakes. Understand that. Saul of Tarsus was no different from those guys. He was just as much a hellion as they were. He was just as much a barbarian as they were. And that's why they feared him so. He was one who longed to behead people and put their heads on stakes. He said, but when it pleased God. But when it pleased God, wasn't up to man, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. So wait a minute, that sounds like Calvinism. No, God just knows beforehand who's going to be saved because he's God. See, God called him by grace from his mother's womb. And by the way, if you're saved, God called you from your mother's womb too. Yeah. Amen. Because God knew it before your mother ever came into the world. He called me to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Now listen to what he said. Immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. Immediately, I said, I ain't talking to no man about this. Hey, I don't want man monkeying around with what God just told me. Hey, I'm going to get right, look at me, I'm going to get right next to God. I ain't worried about what man says. I ain't going to check with nobody else. I'm going to get right next to God. He said, neither went up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. He said, well, I better go check and make sure everything's okay with my calling. I better go up there and check with them other apostles before I do this. No. He said, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then, after 3 years, see, 3 years passed from the time that God saved Paul. 3 years went by, and he's just out preaching the gospel, doing what God called him to do. Then, hey, nobody up in Jerusalem, nobody, none of the other church members, hey, listen, they didn't control him, they didn't conform him, they did not have anything to do with him until he came back. After 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. And I abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. He said, see, I wasn't worried about what man thought. I wasn't worried about what man taught. I'm only concerned about what God wants. See, he wasn't trying to conform to the world. He wasn't going back checking with other preachers to see if he was doing it right. Amen? He wasn't worried about walking around worrying about what everybody thought about him. He only had one concern, that God was pleased with him. That was all that mattered. Why? Because man didn't save him. Man didn't buy him back from hell. He didn't make a commitment to go to man when he died. Hey, amen. He made a commitment to God. He believed and trusted in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that commitment was to God, wasn't a man. So he didn't owe man. He said in verse 20, now the things that I write unto you, and behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by face. They didn't know who I was. I was unknown by face. What do you wake him up for? I can get him. Unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. They didn't know who I was. But they'd heard on me. That he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. Now listen to that. And they glorified God in me. What did they do? They looked and they said, wow, God changed a killer. He changed a killer who killed us. Changed him into someone who went about trying to get us the gospel. And nobody conformed him but God. And they couldn't brag on the apostles and say, oh, how great the apostles have done with this man Paul. Oh, how they changed him. Oh, how his time with them has made him into something great. Oh, what a work Peter has done influencing this man. No, what Paul is saying, I got saved and I got near God's hand. And I put myself there, and I said, Lord God, use me. And God put me where he wanted. He did with me what he wanted. And all that time, all the things that I did, I didn't do it by anybody else. I did it by God. And now, when they saw it for their own self with their own two eyes, they couldn't do nothing but glorify God because he did it. And all that you will ever be, that's any thing is worth anything will be because God did it. You got nothing good about you except for what God does in you. So let me ask you something, neighbor. When's the last time you've been at the right hand of God? Humble. Realizing what's been done for you. Realizing what's been paid for you. Then God, please use me. Oh God, please use me. Listen, this is serious. This is very serious. I have two questions I want to ask you, and then we're going to have an invitation. Only you can answer. How much is your relationship to God worth to you? How much is your relationship to God worth to you? The only way that you can answer that question is by looking at how close to God's hand you've been putting yourself. When you, and you know, and I don't know, but you know, and God knows, and when I'm talking about it, the Holy Ghost of God is probably pricking your heart about it. Because, see, if you haven't been at God's throne, if you haven't been near God, if you haven't been trying to put yourself in a position where God can unconform you from the world and conform you into the image of his Son, if you haven't been putting yourself there and asking him to use you in yielding yourself and presenting your bodies a living sacrifice, then guess what? It ain't worth as much as you think it is. Let me ask you one more question. How valuable do you consider the blood that was paid for your sins to be? We can use the same method to find out. If it's really as valuable as we say it is, then we should be sold out to Him who paid for us. If we're not sold out to Him, we are saying with our life and our testimony, that blood ain't as valuable to me as it is to others. You see, don't get insulted by what I'm saying. Understand that that's the truth. You, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If you treasure the blood that was shed for your sins, you'll be right there at God's throne. If it's not that big a deal, you do your own thing. I'm going to ask you this morning, is God showing you something? Is God working on you? Is God convicting you? Is God trying to break you and bring you to a place of obedience and submission? If He is, don't fight Him. And it doesn't matter how long this invitation takes. It doesn't matter how many times we sing the verse. It doesn't matter. Get on your face before God. Come to Him and repent. Come to Him and throw yourself on His mercy and say, God, I haven't lived for You like I'm supposed to. I haven't yielded to You like I'm supposed to. I've been fighting You and I'm sorry. Oh, God, forgive me. I come now and I repent. The Holy Ghost of God is saying something to you this morning. Don't ignore Him. Don't turn away. Don't tell Him to hush. Just be obedient. How valuable is it to you? Let's stand together. Oh, Father, I pray now, Lord, I've preached. I've done all I know that I can do, Father. I've preached what You've told me to preach, Lord. And now it's time for You to draw people and bring them to the invitation.